Ever scroll through Twitter and just get sucked into those vaccine debates? You know, the ones that get a little heated,
Oh,
they can
yeah.
get a little spicy.
Yeah.
Well, we're diving deep into that world today.
Absolutely.
Specifically, how pro-vaccine groups are trying to fight misinformation online.
Yeah, and it's a real challenge, especially given the research we're looking at today from the British Academy,
Okay.
fighting fake news, online disinformation in COVID times. It really digs into this whole online battleground.
So picture this, you're scrolling through Twitter and a post about vaccines pops up. Maybe it's an article, maybe it's someone's personal story.
Right.
Turns out researchers have analyzed almost 1 million of these tweets
Yeah.
to understand what's really going on.
That's amazing. 1 million tweets. That's a lot of data.
It's a lot of data.
Yeah.
So what'd they find?
Well, one thing they found is that Twitter is like this major battleground for this back and forth.
Okay.
And when they looked at the language people used,
Yep.
a really surprising pattern came up.
Okay. Let's unpack that. What is that?
So you'd think promoting vaccines would be all about the positive stuff, right?
Yeah.
The benefits, you know,
Yeah.
like how vaccines protect you.
Yeah.
But the research found something kind of shocking.
Okay.
Pro-vaccine voices were actually more negative
What?
than anti-vaccine would
Oh,
play.
I know, right?
I would have thought it was the other way around.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
Like they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
So are the good guys, the pro-vaccine folks, are they accidentally hurting their own cause?
It really seems that way.
Wow.
They often sounded like judgmental or even accusatory.
You know, that doesn't really win people over.
No, it makes sense though, because if someone's already like, I don't know about this whole vaccine thing, and you come at them like, well, you're an idiot if you don't get it, they're gonna be like,
Right.
no way, now I'm not doing
Yeah.
it.
You're just going to make them dig in their heels even more.
Right,
It
exactly.
makes this worse.
Totally. And then on top of that, you've got this whole echo chamber effect, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Where everybody's just talking to people who already agree with them.
Yeah. And the research found that, as you might expect, people mostly stick to their own groups online,
Right.
which just makes the polarization even more extreme.
So it's like we're all stuck in our own little online bubbles.
Exactly.
But I'm guessing it can't be all preaching to the choir, right?
You're right. It's not all preaching to the
Wow.
choir.
There's got to be some crossover happening somewhere.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of interaction between the two sides.
Yeah.
And that's where things get really interesting.
So let's talk about those pro-vaccine groups who are out there trying to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
So this report highlights two groups in particular,
Okay.
L'Evex's in France
Okay.
and Iovaccino in Italy.
Gotcha.
And these aren't like government agencies or anything.
Right.
These are just citizen-led groups
Wow.
who are passionate and just trying to fight this misinformation.
That's pretty cool,
Well,
actually.
it is cool.
They're putting themselves out there for something
Yeah.
they believe in. That's.
And it's not easy. It's.
It's kind of intense, though, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like, this is
Yeah.
something that people get. Yeah, people get really riled up about it.
Really fired up about, yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, the report even mentions that some members of these groups have to keep their identity secret
What?
because of threats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Serious business.
Secret identities.
I know, right?
It's like the Avengers of vaccine advocacy.
It's a good way to put it.
But seriously, that's scary. That's kind of scary.
It is a little bit scary. It shows you how high the stakes are,
Yeah,
you know.
for sure.
But despite all of that,
Yeah.
these groups are really committed to getting good information out there.
Okay.
So they're, you know, they're doing things like debunking myths,
Right.
sharing research,
Yeah.
engaging with people in the comments sections
Oh, wow.
who are, you know, hesitant about vaccines.
So they're really like head on in the trenches
Right.
fighting misinformation.
Absolutely. It's a tough job.
I bet those comment sections are spicy too.
Oh, you know those comment sections are wild.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about how pro-vaccine voices can sometimes be more negative?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these groups sometimes fall into that trap too.
Really?
Yeah, it's like they're so focused on being right
Oh no.
that they forget about the human element.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
It's like they're so busy, checkmate, I have all the facts that they're not like, hey,
exactly.
how are you doing? Like, I understand you might be scared.
Exactly. And it's like people can tell when you're talking down to them
Yeah.
or being judgmental, even if you have all the facts in the world.
Totally. So what's the solution here? If you
Okay.
can't just be like, here's a bunch of data, get the vaccine,
Yeah.
how do you actually connect with somebody on
Exactly.
something that's so like emotionally charged?
Yeah.
So if just throwing facts at people doesn't work, What's the answer?
Well, the report actually highlights this really interesting case.
Okay.
Where a different approach really worked.
Okay.
It's the HPV vaccine campaign in Ireland.
Okay.
They saw a huge turnaround in vaccination rates when they changed tactics.
Interesting. Okay, so what did they do?
It all started with this woman named Laura Brennan.
Okay.
She was diagnosed with terminal cervical cancer.
Oh, gosh.
At only 24 years old.
Wow, that's so young.
I know, and she decided to become the face of this campaign.
Wow, that's incredibly brave.
It was really powerful.
So did she just, like, share her story and tell people to get vaccinated?
It was more than that. It wasn't just, hey, get the vaccine.
Okay.
The research talks about these mirroring strategies.
Okay.
And that's kind of what she did. She showed people she understood how they felt.
So instead of lecturing, she led with empathy.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
She talked openly about her own experience.
Oh, wow.
Her fears, her regrets.
Wow.
Hopes for other people, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it made all the difference because it felt so real.
Right, because people can spot a sales pitch a mile away.
Exactly.
But when you see someone being that real, that vulnerable.
Totally, it just hits differently.
Yeah, you really feel it.
It does. And I think another thing that was interesting about Laura was that she wasn't part of some government agency or anything.
Okay, so her message felt more authentic.
Way more authentic.
Gotcha.
Because she was just a person, you know, sharing her truth.
Yeah, it wasn't some big official campaign.
Exactly.
It was just a person, like, talking to other people.
Exactly.
Wow. It's like that Maya Angelou quote.
What's that?
People will forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
That's so true.
She really changed the whole conversation.
She did.
It wasn't about right or wrong anymore, you know? It was about connection.
Exactly. And hope.
And look, we've covered a lot today. We've talked about the echo chambers.
That's a lot.
The negativity, even like threats. And
it's a lot to process.
It really is a lot. So for someone listening who's maybe overwhelmed, what are the big things to remember?
Well, if you take anything away from all of this, remember these three things.
Okay.
One, emotional intelligence is key.
Okay.
You know, how you make people feel.
Yeah.
Way more important than just being right.
Lead with empathy, not your ego.
Exactly. Perfectly said.
Okay, what's number two?
Number two, facts still matter.
Okay.
But you have to use them right, you know?
Okay, so not just like data dump on people.
No data dumps, no. Tell a story, make it relatable.
Connect it to those emotions.
Exactly.
All right, and the third thing to remember?
Find common ground.
Okay.
Look for something you can agree on, you know?
Like what would that even look like in this kind of debate?
Well, it could be anything, really. Maybe it's wanting to protect our kids or our community.
Right, we all want to feel safe.
Exactly. Starting from that place of shared values.
Yeah.
That's where you can really start to have a productive conversation.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive, for sure.
I agree.
You know, we talk about these online debates, but we forget there's a person behind the screen.
We do.
With their own story.
That's right. Everyone has a story.
So hopefully, if anything, you know, this was a good reminder to just be kind out there.
Absolutely. A little kindness can go a long way.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, that's it for this deep dive. But here's something to think about. You know, this research focused on Twitter. But what about those other online spaces?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, are those conversations happening differently on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok? I don't know. But it's something to consider.
It really is. So much to explore.
There is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. And until next time, stay curious.